Hello, and welcome to episode 51 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. And today, we're going to be talking about sales challenges facing HME providers, sort of as we're coming out of the COVID pandemic, but then also in terms of other things. Here to talk about that is HME sales coach, Ty Bello. He's the president and CEO of Team at Work, which does a bunch of sales and leadership coaching and consulting in the industry. Lord knows you should have heard of him. Ty, how are you doing?
David, I'm doing great. Thanks again for having me back on the podcast, HME Business Podcast. I love it.
And before we dive into today's podcast, I do want to thank our sponsors, Playmaker. They've made today's episode possible. Playmaker Health provides data-driven sales solutions and software resources and tools for HME providers. Really, what they're offering is pretty revolutionary. I do encourage you to go check them out. They're over at playmakerhealth.com. Again, that's playmakerhealth.com. So let's dive in. Now that we're coming out of this COVID pandemic, it's certainly been a weird time for HME sales, I think is putting it a little too mildly. There's been a lot going on in the post-acute arena and specifically through the pandemic. Now we're kind of coming out of that and we're seeing some challenges in sales and particularly in referral sales. What are you seeing and hearing out there from providers?
Yeah, Dave, you know, you've said it, right? HME providers, they're definitely experiencing some challenges, right, across the board. You know, there are some that are still lingering on from the public health emergency. They're still kind of in it in some of their communities. And others, they're kind of a byproduct of what happened in the public health emergency. And now they're really coming out on the other side. And really, my opinion here is that I think we're going to see openings a lot better than what we've had so far in the next 45 days. And I really do believe that we will see most of these challenges that we are experiencing today kind of fade away. So to me, by the end of July, early August, we should be as close to a new normal as I believe we might get for this year. I think there's going to, every month we get further away, I think that's, it's going to get better. I think there's two leading factors right now that are, we have to see what is the impact of Memorial Day. We've all been out there. What will the impact be of 4th of July? We'll all be out there again. That will dictate how that line kind of moves back and forth. Now, I do believe that, again, this is going to, we're going to get some relief, but I believe there's another thing that's out there, and I'm going to call it the excuse factor. And what I mean by that is those referral sources that were difficult to work with or difficult to get in and see prior to COVID, prior to the public emergency, they will continue to be difficult to get in after we come out of the public health emergency. I mean, long after, they will just use the excuse of COVID as their new reason as to why they're not going to see us. While a lot of things are going to lighten up, that one thing, it's just going to morph to the new excuse. You know, it has been, well, the doctor really doesn't see reps. No, we really don't do that, blah, blah, whatever it might be. And there are tons of those, but now it's going to be, no, COVID, no, 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 no. So, okay, that's where we're headed.
Okay. So they're going to lean hard on this.
Don't let any emergency go to waste when I can make an excuse out of it and not have to see a rep. Absolutely going to happen. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, man. So, okay. But is there a light at the end of the tunnel here? I mean, apart from those guys, and the fact that, you know, there's going to be some moments where we'll have to see how the resumption of activities like Memorial Day weekend and July 4, how those impact, any sort of potential spread, you know, will we have, you know, a little resurgence and that kind of stuff. But besides those things, it sounds like there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely there is. And I believe that, you know, we're going to face some things, no doubt about it. And I believe there's two sides to it. I think there's an internal and an external side to the challenges that HME providers are experiencing today as it relates to sales. Now, these are, for me, these are the ones that I've identified. There's an accessibility issue that's still going on with the referral source. Okay. There's also referral source turnover that's happening. And then there's another product that's happening right now. It's called in-services being booked all the way to the end of 2022 already.
No
and
way.
Then last but not least to me is this old sales structure that we were used to using before the public health emergency, and then maybe a slight lack of education and training and even a little bit of accountability to the sales team that are out there today. I think that's how we can break down these challenges that we're facing.
Okay, so we've got some challenges. Let's kind of tackle these one by one regarding accessibility. So the reps are still having trouble getting to the referral sources. That's still an issue.
Absolutely. And it's in pockets across the country. And I'm not saying this to boast or anything like that. I really am coaching people all across the United States. So I'm getting a good feel, a good idea of what's going on. I've got some pockets that there's still no accessibility for sales reps, not completely, but around 60 or 70%. In other places, it's a lot lower. It's around 10%, 15%. It's kind of opened back up. So this is across the board. It's in offices, it's in clinics, and it's in hospitals. And sales reps, you know, they're having to be more resourceful than they've ever been before. And they have to think constructively as to ways to get what I call that value-added message to that referral source so that they can be really the opportunity for them would really be one that would open up the door for them to work with them as a profession. Now, here's the deal. I believe we as sales professionals, we need to be professionally aggressive. And in that, we can complement our sales efforts with a mixture of what I call face-to-face visits, common sense, in services, and then also outreach. And that was what we talked about early on, Dave. You and I talked about this on a podcast during the early stages of the pandemic. We were locked out. We couldn't get in. We used outreach, the phone calls, the emails, the texts, and then also the handwritten notes to gain access, although it wasn't face-to-face, it wasn't live, to gain access with that referral source so we can remain top of mind. So that's how I would say accessibility needs to be looked at moving forward.
And just to not to put too fine a point on it, but that outreach, that's married with that value-added messaging that you were talking about.
100%. Here's the deal. I believe this with all my heart. We have got to move to a value-added sales menu. Yes, we're always going to maintain accounts, no question about it. But those prior to the public health emergency, and even now are impacted by this, those that brought value to that referral source and now continue to bring value to that referral source, they have more accessibility than those of us that were out there that did not bring value. And you've heard me say this, and so are the people that are listening. People that brought calories over content are still having a hard time gaining access. They'll take your snacks. They'll take your donuts. They'll take your lunch. They'll do all of that. But you're not going to get the referral or the volume of referrals that others that are bringing value to that referral source are getting today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have to agree. The more useful information that you can give these people, one, they're associating value with that sales professional. That's always a good thing. Yeah. And two, they're seeing that sales professional as an expert. And that's an extension of the provider's branding as an expert, you know, in post-acute, and home care, medical equipment and supplies and all that good stuff.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Okay, so let's tackle another challenge, and that's you mentioned referral source turnover. What's happening there? Are you seeing a lot of turnover, and how's that hitting providers?
Yeah. And so this is directly from the source. This is directly from the sales representatives that are out in the marketplace today that I get to engage with, that they are walking in and they're looking for that nurse or that PA or that nurse practitioner that they have worked with for years, et cetera, et cetera. They're getting accessibility. They're getting in there and that person's gone. They're completely out. So with this turnover comes a new face. And in some cases, the rebuilding, completely rebuilding of the relationship. So this is one of those reasons that I believe in a CRM. Why? Because I believe the CRM helps us keep track of that. Other than that, the sales rep has got it in a notebook. And we as the owner, we as the leader, we don't know that it was, you know, Mark or Sue or Diane, and now it's John, Paul, or Diane or somebody else. We don't know that unless we have that data resource inside of a CRM. But sales reps need to know a few things. One, they need to know what to do when faced with turnover. And there are two scenarios here. First, if they go in and the contact person has moved on, where did they go? Where did they go? If I got a good relationship with that person and they leave that office, maybe, just maybe, I can follow them to another practice. That's, I've already got an established relationship. Now, it doesn't mean that wherever they went, it's going to be open door for me. I'm going to get in. No, but it's a warm opportunity. It's not a cold call or a cold opportunity because I've got an ally and a friend. I've done this person right. We had a good relationship. This is good. Let's move forward. Now, the second part of that is that we need to figure out if this is a brand new person. Well, we've got to earn their trust. Yes, nurse practitioner, let's say the doctor, they know us, they like our services. But oftentimes doctors will refer to the referral coordinator or the nurse and say, whoever they pick, that's who I like. That's rare any longer because the doctor is typically pretty heavily involved in the case, in the referral that's going out to us in the medical equipment arena. But we really need to build that relationship with that person. So if you've got them, for example, on a cycle of every other week or every third week, because you've had an established relationship with the predecessor, et cetera, you might want to bump that up because this person really doesn't know you. Oh, and remember, that person probably came more than likely from another office. Did they have a relationship in the other office with another HME provider?
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If I hear that a nurse has left a doctor's office and you as my competitor, a provider, had a relationship with that nurse, that is an opportunity for me to pounce all over that referral source and try to get that new person to like me before they get to really know and like you. So there's a lot that goes into turnover. It's not just, oh, someone left. I'll maintain the relationship. Everything will be fine. Okay, you could try that, but I'd rather be professionally aggressive even in this scenario.
Got it. Now, a good way that providers can research that kind of, you know, research those types of referrals is, you know, that, you know, the change in referrals, new referrals coming in, seeing who they were with is with some of these market data-based sales solutions that you have talked about before, both on the podcast and in a recent webinar, correct?
Well, they definitely can see what's going on in that referral source, right? No question about that. So, and we've got to be very sensitive to this, right? The data that we're going to be looking at is data that's going to be from 2020. So that data is going to be skewed. It just is. Why? Because not every office was completely open all the time with referrals.
Oh yeah.
On whatever. Yeah. So it's slightly skewed. So we've got to look at the data that we're going to get now, slightly skewed, still very, very good. Because realistically, you just got to figure if they're in the data set right now and it looks low, it probably was because of COVID. But what will 2021 look like? So they're still a high prescriber. We still need to focus on them. It just might not be the number that we thought they had. And then we have to see what 2021 looks like in 22, et cetera. But it's still very, very good, solid data.
Yeah. Ty, I think you and I just identified another podcast topic as well.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. Yeah.
So, okay. Now you've got another sales challenge that you mentioned, and this one blew me away. But that is in services being booked through 2022. Already. Why is that? And what can an HME, you know, provider or an HME sales team do about that? That really surprised me when I heard that.
Yeah. So look, it's normally you would start approaching the middle to end of Q3 where you start booking into the next year. That's kind of normal, maybe even into the Q4 before you start booking into next year. But I've got people that are out on the streets right now that are saying books are full all the way into 2022. And here's the reason why. So you've got all of the reps that call on the offices and or the case managers, discharge planners, clinics, et cetera, that we call on. And there are a host of them. It's not just us, HME. It's other post-acute care, home health reps, pharmaceutical reps, the medical supply reps that supply the office with medical supplies that we're calling on. All of those people have reps, all right? Even the long-term care facilities, assisted living facilities, all have reps that are going in there. And they're all trying to get the ear of that referral source. So we're competing with them. Well, think about it. During COVID, what were they doing? Were they out there like us? Did they have an outreach plan like we did? More than likely not, because I didn't teach them. Not that I'm the only one that can come up with that idea, but I didn't tell them about it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Here's what's going on. The reps, all of the other ones are finally getting out there and they know the value in a good in-service in getting the relationship to the next level with that referral source. And they know that to be an in-service, education, CEUs, et cetera. So what are they doing? They are on a mission to go out there and book up that in-service. And here we are possibly sitting back like, oh, April of 2022. Okay, can you put me on the cancellation list just in case? Sure, I can. All right. So that's what we're faced with right now. And wow. So owners, sales leaders, sales representatives, we've got to come up with a plan. If we use market data that both Dave and I referred to a little bit ago, and we can identify those high prescribers that are out there that, we want to get in there. This is a good referral source. Then let's plan on trying to get an in-service. First of all, the data has already shown us that they actually do that kind of referral. Great. Uh-huh. So I don't have to go through all the question and answers to find out if they qualify. For me, Ty Bello, who I've got my own system of doing that. No, if I see the data's there and I believe the data, I'm setting up an in-service. I'm setting up education on the products and services that we offer because I believe that will make a difference in the patient's lives that they send home. And I believe I can do a better job than their current provider that they're using.
And maybe if they're, kind of preloading that with the value messaging that you mentioned before, that might help kind of turn them around.
Get out of my head. Absolutely. And that is what the prescriber is going to be looking for. That's what the referral source is going to be looking for. The value that we bring in. We have an audience, a captive audience and an in-service. We've got to bring value. It can't just be we brought this great food or donut or whatever. We've got to bring value. How are we going to differentiate what they've experienced so far with another provider in there?
Okay, this is another one that I think is a really important one. And that is another challenge that you mentioned is old sales structures. It sounds like there's some workflows that need to go out the window and new ones put in their place. Am I right?
100%. And, again, it goes back to sales accountability, driving sales, and really setting up territory management and structure and that high prescriber based on the data that we've got. We've just got to change the way we've done sales. Starting my career 31 years ago, there was no such animal as data back then. And then data came out and data wasn't that good. And now data is 100 times better than it was 7 years ago. And it gets better every single year. If we're not using data to identify those prescribers that we want to go after, those referral sources, I believe we are working at a detriment and not working at in a positive way. So yeah. I think that is part of it. That will help us develop that sales process and accountability level that we can hold them to with inside the activities that are inside of a CRM, the different types of sales calls, the different in-services that we're doing, how the referral trending is going, all of that. That is a graduate level of sales that we're getting much, much better, but we need to accelerate and get to that point because the challenges now, we thought they were tough in COVID. I believe they're as tough, if not tougher, post-COVID because of accessibility and all the other things and not bringing that value. So absolutely. And to couple that with, we've got to have a strong sales plan and process. And we have to become, as we just said a little bit ago, that resource to that medical referral community.
So old sales structures. And this is kind of relating, and that's training, education, and accountability on the sales team. So are you saying that the sales leadership needs to kind of step up its game?
Well, I think we've gotten better over the years. And I'm really not saying this. I'm really not saying this as a trainer and a coach. I'm really not. And I'm not saying this to drive more business. I'm saying this because I'm a sales professional and I've been a sales professional in this industry specifically, HME. That's where I started my career 31 years ago. And I have been a sales coach and trainer for the past 21 years. And as I look at our industry, that is an area that I still believe there is room for growth. I believe we can step up just a little bit more on sales training, sales education. I believe we can definitely drive better accountability with our teams, et cetera. I believe we can invest in the growth of our business through the sales individuals that are on our team with better education, et cetera. And we cannot rely on the sales representative to do this on their own because they are just like everybody else for the most part. And when we're left by ourselves without a plan or a structure to help drive us, sometimes we will slip into kind of like an atrophy stage and we will not try for future development or further development of ourselves as an individual. That is not just our industry. That is every single industry out there that has sales professionals. Sales companies, businesses grow when they invest in their salespeople as a resource to help them grow individually and as sales professionals as well.
Got it. And, you know, I'm going to kind of slip something in here, Ty, because you're probably going to be too classy to do it yourself, but you've got a sales boot camp coming up at MedTrade West, right? That's happening on July 12th. And that's like a full day sales course and for both the representatives and the managers. Do I have that right?
You do. Thanks for mentioning that. But yes, we do. We've got that coming up, as you said, on the Monday before MedTrade show, and it is a full day program. And we call it Bootcamp, Team at Work Sales Bootcamp. I've been doing this for about 21 years now.
Oh, really?
And it is not just a course. I read a book a long time ago that says you can't teach a kid how to ride a bike at a webinar or at a seminar. And the truth is that's true. So everyone attending this, there's application throughout the entire event of how you can actually put these things into practice when you get back. Plus, everyone will get 2 hours of coaching with me. And then everyone that enrolls in this will be enrolled in our Team at Work Sales Mastermind course all of 2022. And that is a monthly sales webinar that we lead that will do a rewind of boot camp and then also talk about current events and kind of have a sales tip of the month from Coach Ty. And it's a really productive time together. So we're very, very, very honored that MedTrade Show has reached out to us and asked us to be a part of that. And we're excited to be doing it at maybe, you know, what will be the first live event for our industry for over a year and a half. So very excited, David. Thanks for bringing that up. It was very kind of you.
No, hey, no, it's interesting stuff. I'm real excited about the stuff that's happening in HME sales as we're kind of, you know, it's funny to kind of loop this back to the topic of the webinar. You know, there's sales challenges, but like you said, there's also some opportunities here. This is a really kind of interesting time because while there might be change in the way HME sales are conducted, ultimately, I think all those changes are for the better.
Yes, sir. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ty, as always, these talks are always fascinating. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Dave, thank you again for having me on. And thanks for always coming with some really, really good questions and just driving the conversation. It's very easy to talk with you this way. So I really appreciate it. And I know the HME provider really appreciates all that you do as well.
Well, I think that's likewise. So there you go. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your expertise and everything, Ty. I really appreciate it. Okay. And then let's also thank our sponsors, Playmaker, for sponsoring today's podcast. Again, they provide data-driven sales solutions and software resources and tools for the HME industry. So make sure to go check them out. You can find out more at playmakerhealth.com. Okay, that's going to close things up for the podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, as well as everything that we're doing over here at HME Business, go over to hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine. And you can get that as a digital version if you don't want the dead tree version. So either way, you can get a PDF flipbook, or you can get a regular print magazine mailed to you. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter at Postacute News, or you can hit me up via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling topics like HME sales and the challenges that we can expect to face and the smart strategies for overcoming them. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.